Go ahead, Ian.
Hi, I'm Ian. I'm an alcoholic and grateful to be here. And thank you, Lonnie. And I see some friendly faces in the grid here, including the driver. So he's waving. So, okay. So some housekeeping here. If you hear some crazy noise, I'm in an airport. The second thing is that about 10 to 1 Eastern, I'm going to get off this meeting to board a plane so I don't miss the plane. And it all this stuff kind of came in. I'm going to do the best I can without a book. They told me a long time ago that the time and place will come when you won't have a big book and you need to use the book. So I'm going to use my experience as we go along. I have a sobriety date, November 6, 2006. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. And I am very engaged in the big book awakening process. And I say that as a process. I'm engaged in Alcoholics Anonymous as a fellowship. And I'm connected to Alcoholics Anonymous as a fellowship. And I utilize the process of big book awakening. For me personally, I don't consider the big book awakening a fellowship. I consider it just a process that was brought to me to go through the 12 steps and further my experience transformationally in the big book. So with that said, I'm going to say a set-aside prayer real quick. So God, here we go with some announcements, but I'll do the best I can. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me see the truth about the things that separate me from a relationship with you, myself, and others. So first, I like to say this set-aside prayer because it keeps me teachable. It lets me be teachable to hear what you have to say. And it also helps me when I'm in meetings so that I don't hear something that's not my experience and I don't block myself off from hearing the rest of what's being talked about. So hopefully you hear me over this public announcement. And so we're talking about resentment. And there's a couple things I need to share real quick about resentment. And before we get to the path of resentment and why resentment inventory is really important. Well, the first is really serious. It says it's the number one offender in our big book. Resentment is the number one offender. It says it kills more alcoholics than anything else. So that should bring a red flag to my attention that this is probably something real important, because it doesn't say alcohol kills more alcoholics. It doesn't say food kills more food addicts. It doesn't say drugs kill more drug addicts. It says resentment kills them. And then further on, it says that resentments are infinitely grave. They're fatal. They're deadly. They use terms. They bring you to the grave. They use all these terms to talk about how powerful a resentment is. So let's share for a second. Why is that important? Well, the reason for me it's important is because I've had a true first step experience. I've come to the conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt, no reservations, no lurking notions, that when I start, I can't stop. And when I stop, I can't stay stopped. That's a huge dilemma. I can't stay stopped. And when I start, I can't stop. I can't control the stop. Huge, huge dilemma. So, you know, like you think about that. I have a problem. I can't stop doing it when I start, but that would be fine. The book says it would be academic and pointless if I didn't pick up. But the problem is I can't stop from picking up. So it tells me that there's a problem, and the main problem centers in the mind. So what's actually centering in my mind is a spiritual malady, the unmanageability of spiritual separation. And that's what the Big Book Awakening process really brings alive, for me at least, in a way much better than most of the other 12-step processes through the big book. They explain the real problem and they confirm it right when they say resentment's the number one offender. It says that until the spiritual malady's overcome, we can't straighten out mentally and physically. So why we do inventory is to straighten out the spiritual malady. It says that we need to face and be rid of the things within myself that's blocking me off. So it's not the external. It's not you. It's not her. It's not my job. It's not the guy that just cut me off. it's not this public announcer in the air. Don't they know that I'm trying to share at a Big Book Awakening meeting and I'm supposed to be Serenity and they're talking over me? But it's none of that. It's inside of me. It's what's inside of me. See, on page 52, there's bedevilments, and the bedevilments are an external reaction to the internal problem of spiritual malady. So when that's a good barometer to see where I am spiritually is to what I look like externally. And so resentment falls into that category, and we write inventory. And I want you to hear this. I'm not a preacher, and I don't want to sound like I'm a preacher, but inevitably, every time I share about inventory, someone comes on and shares and doesn't hear this one vital clause. If I say one thing that you'd get out of this whole talk, I urge you to listen to this. We don't write resentment inventory or any inventory to see what bad people we are. We write inventory to confirm that my life run on self-will was not successful. We write inventory to see what I'm not, not what I am. I'm not connected to access to the power. See, on page 45, it tells me the main purpose of this book is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which is going to solve my problem. And my problem is a spiritual malady, not my drinking, not my using. It's my lack of power, my lack of access to this power. So I write inventory to confirm what my life looks like when I don't have access to the power, the best I could do on my own. For me, and I urge you to follow whatever guide your sponsor takes you through or your step guide. For me, I come from a lineage that dates through the Denver Young People's Group, and I don't write inventory on myself because for me, I feel that's a first step problem. If I had the power to do it different, why wouldn't I? Like, why would I have done what I did if I could, if I had the ability not to? I have to understand that I did the best I could on my own power, and the inventory confirms that. Okay, that being said, we write inventory to see what we're not connected to God, not what we did. I know what I did. I don't need to write it down to see it again. So now let's look at resentment. Okay, why do I have a resentment? Well, either you're not doing what I wanted you to do, or you're doing something I didn't want you to do. See, the book says I'm either burnt, threatened, interfered, or burned up sore, right? So people say, I don't have any resentments. Okay, who bothered you? You know? And then there's three kinds of resentment inventories. They even break it down greater. First, we look at the people. You know, what did they do? Then we look at institutions, IRS, the jails, the hospitals, the police, you know, whatever, college, the government, doesn't matter. And then we look at principles. And lately, there's been this movement amongst the Big Book Awakening where they kind of shifted from the principles of life principles like big boys don't cry, or women get married, or you're supposed to have a picket fence, white picket fence with two Volvos and a dog running around the yard and a swing set in the backyard, whatever the life principles are. But lately, there's been these movement, which they call self-defeating beliefs. Really, if you get down to it, they're just fears. They're deep-rooted fears that are driving my life. And I'm not going to talk about that right now. But what I'm going to talk about is the primary resentment cause, the people. Why do I have them? I need you to do something. You're not doing what I want. AKA, I'm playing God in your life. See, and the step before that, and the third step says, I got to quit playing God. It doesn't work. And, you know, so what's it look like when I play God? I need to control your life. I need you to do something for me to be okay. There's a role every one of you on this screen could play in my life for me to be okay. And if you don't do it, it might bother me. You know, everyone in this airport, everyone in my life, if I'm not spiritually fit and in a place that I'm okay with God, what you don't do is going to bother me. And sometimes what you do is going to bother me more. So resentment means to relive an event, means to have it over and over and keep replaying. Now, if you have been a subject to something that happened when you were a child, that, and you're a little kid, and, you know, and I'll share this. I was raped at 13 years old by an orthodontist who put me on the floor and knocked me out, and I woke up with him on top of me. So what was my role in that? I didn't tell anyone until I was 42 years old. I carried it on and I relived the incident. I blocked it out for a long time, and when it surfaced, I never told anybody. So let's go forward on this stuff. So there's different levels. And, you know, in the Big Book Awakening, we have a process. We have the name, we have the cause, the target thing, what they did. And then we have seven areas of self. We have, we have self-esteem, pride, ambition, security, personal, sexual relations, pocketbook. Then we go into a realization. So I look at, you know, when you get to the fear inventory, and it says that, notice the word fear bracket alongside the difficulties of Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, yada, yada. Well, think about that word difficulties, because in the third step prayer, we're asking God to take away our difficulties. So, and then they're talking about it's bracketed in the three column inventory in the book. So what are the difficulties? Well, in the third column, they're not my self-esteem, my pride. It's how I react to it. It's what, how the fear drives my reactions to that problem. And that's what I'm asking God to take away, my reactions to you and how you treat me. You know, and I could spend a lot of time, I'm going to bullet through this stuff, but
Okay.
So most of the time people think they have low self-esteem. The truth is, if you have, if that's the case, and I felt the same way, then I would deserve what happened to me. But the truth is, I have a high self-esteem. And that's why in the Big Book Awakening, we write, I'm the best boyfriend, I'm the best girlfriend, I'm the best father. I might not feel that, but I think it. I think I'm better than you. And I think you need to do it my way, because your life, the book lays it out so beautifully on page 62, 61. It tells me that if you only did what I wanted you to do, your life would be better and so would mine. Okay, so we get through the third column, and I don't have a lot of time for it, but it's important. But the real important thing for me is the realization. I get to realize why. So if I'm upset at you for gossiping about me, and this is a tool I use in the 10th step too, that's why I like to share about this a lot, is when I have a spot check, something comes up, I'm watching for something in my life happen, the first thing I go is the realization. Did I do that to that person or somebody else, anybody else? Have I gossiped about anyone? Well, then it kind of softens the blow so that I see that they gossiped about me. Well, I've gossiped about them and other people. They're not perfect. I do it when I'm not spiritually well, and they're probably not spiritually well, and I have to treat them like that. I can't, you know, I have to have the compassion, the love and tolerance to accept where they're at too. I can't just, anyhow, so then we go into what we call the fourth column. Some processes call it the turnaround. You know, some people call it not columns, the fourth list. And we look at a few things. We look at selfishness, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid. And if you go back into page 62 in the book, where it says selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of our troubles. It tells us it's driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and fear. And if you look, it's actually the backwards of what we're writing here, because in the Big Book Awakening, when we do this fourth list, this fourth column, we turn around and we go upward. And we look at how the fears drove the delusions, which drove my selfish thinking, which drove my actions, the self-seeking act. So why do I self-seek? Well, because I want you to do something, right? Because I'm selfish, because I have some selfish needs, so I self-seek to make you do it. What's that look like? Not telling you the truth. It looks like, you know, I don't want to, you know, I could give you 100 things of self-seeking, but for me, and everyone has their own thing, it's the dishonesty. That's the real kicker for me. And in the Big Book Awakening, we just look at the delusions. I also look at the lie of omission. You know, I'm mad at you because you're not a mind reader. You know, I'm mad at you because you don't know what I'm thinking. I want to tell you something, how I really feel, but you should know what I think because you should read my mind. But I can't tell you what I really want to tell you because you might not like me. I'm scared. So I call that the people pleasing. And what people pleasing really is dishonesty. Because ask yourself later on, were they really pleased when they found out the truth? You know, are they really pleased when you don't tell them the truth? So, you know, and then, so what we look at is the fear. What the fear, the evil corroding thread, it drives all the resentments. There's something I'm afraid I'm going to lose or not get. And why do I have fear? Well, 2 weeks or next week, someone's going to share about it. It's because I have a lack of trust and faith in God. So I'm relying on me. And when I know I can't finish the job, I go into fear. So the fear starts the delusion that you don't like me. And I need you to like me because there's a role I need you to play in my life. So I start self-seeking you. I start pretending something and I try to get you to do something I need you to do. Hence, where we look at our role here, where we look at our part in this resentment. And, you know, so there's a prayer we say, you know, and go down the sick man's prayer. You can find it on the top of page 66. Or 67, bottom of 66 comes into the thing. But there's one thing I want to say real quick and then end this. On 66, I think it's page 66, on page 66 in the last full paragraph before it says we realize, the paragraph above that, it tells me that we're going to look at this, we're prepared to look at this list from another different angle. And what we're going to do here is we're going to see how the people in our life, fancied or real, control me. What we're going to also see here is that I don't have the power to wish resentments away any more than I have the power to get rid of whatever my first step problem is. On page 44, it tells me that I could wish to be moral, I could wish to be philosophically confident, I could will this stuff with all my might, but the needed power wasn't there. And then it tells me on page 62 that I can't reduce selfishness or self-centeredness without God's help. And now in the resentment inventory, it's telling me I can't wish resentments away on my own power. I don't have the power to wish this way. And that's why I go through this process, this 12-step process. I start and then I end up doing a full inventory. It tells me it's just the beginning. It tells me at the end of the full inventory that I should be able to see at this point what my life looks like on self-will. I begin to see where I've been running the show. And then I get to do the rest of the process to treat the real problem, the spiritual malady. So the fourth step in the resentment inventory is not the end. It's just the beginning. People come to me and say, can I do a fourth step? I go, well, what about the other 11 steps? You know, what's the point in doing a fourth step if you're going to do nothing else? The fourth step is not a relief valve. It's a beginning to help me get closer to God so I get to get better, not just feel better. But ultimately, if you want to perfect and enlarge your spiritual life, it's through work and self-sacrifice for others. So going through the whole entire rest of this process, having a spiritual awakening and carrying the message is where the Holy Grail is. And the fourth step is just a beginning process of the long journey, which we get to seek a better relationship with God. Judith, that's all I probably have. I'm probably out of time. So love you and thank you for inviting me, Lonnie.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thank you so much. And we're so pleased that you could join us. We know you have to leave at 10 to the hour, but so wonderful that you would speak to us right from the airport too. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.